Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Decades of breast cancer research have been paying off in recent years with many advances in diagnosis, treatment, and recovery. There are many different types of breast cancer and many different types of treatment. What is the same, though, is the good advice that experts and breast cancer survivors continue to offer to those faced with making many decisions and suffering through the often difficult treatments and recovery. Our first article comes from Medical Daily, written by Vishanka Sonawane and published on October 10, 2016. It offers a guide to understanding what breast cancer is. And it is aptly titled Breast Cancer 2016, Everything You Need to Know. Breast cancer is the most common cancer in women, regardless of ethnicity and race. It can be classified into different types depending on where the disease started in the breast and the way it grows, among other factors. Breast cancer is the most common cause of death from cancer among Hispanic women in the U.S., according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Latest figures from 2013 show that 230,815 women and 2,109 men in the country were diagnosed with breast cancer. Of these, 40,860 women and 464 men died from the disease. This type of cancer can be broadly categorized in two forms, invasive and non-invasive. Invasive breast cancers, it is the most common type of cancer among American women. Also known as infiltrating breast cancer, invasive breast cancer spreads to the normal tissues in or around the breast. It can also spread to other body parts through the blood and lymph systems. Malignant cells can be present in the milk ducts and lobules, the milk-producing glands, in this type of cancer. Two main types of invasive breast cancer are found among patients: invasive ductal carcinoma, IDC, and invasive lobular carcinoma, ILC. While IDC starts in the milk ducts, ILC is formed in the lobules. IDC accounts for about 70% of invasive breast cancers, and ILC is more of a rare type. Breast-conserving surgery or mastectomy, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, hormone therapy, and/or targeted therapy are given to those with invasive breast cancer, depending on the stage and characteristics of the tumor. Non-invasive breast cancers. These types of cancer are known as in situ breast cancers. This means that the cancer cells are limited to a single place and do not spread to tissues around the milk ducts or the lobules. There are two types of non-invasive breast cancers: ductal carcinoma in situ, DCIS, and lobular carcinoma in situ, LCIS. The DCIS type of breast cancer is prevalent in the milk ducts and the most common form of non-invasive breast cancer. LCIS occurs in the lobules. It is not a pre-malignant condition, but a marker that identifies women at an increased risk of developing invasive breast cancer. Surgery is often recommended in DCIS breast cancer to remove just the area of the cancer along with a border of healthy tissue around it, local excision. However, some people may also require mastectomy. Unlike DCIS, LCIS does not require typical cancer treatments such as surgery, radiation therapy, and chemotherapy. However, it is advisable that those with LCIS should undergo careful observation to watch for any indications of invasive breast cancer. Other types of breast cancers. Male breast cancer. Breast cancer is rare in men. However, when it occurs, it is often a ductal carcinoma. Paget's disease of the nipple. A rare form of breast cancer, Paget's disease of the nipple occurs when cancer cells gather in or around the nipple. Phyllodes tumors of the breast. These are rare breast tumors that start in the connective tissue of the breast and spread quickly in a leaf-like pattern. Not all, but some of these tumors are cancerous. Recurrent and/or metastatic breast cancer. This is a type of breast cancer that has returned following treatment or spread to other parts of the body. And we're going to move on now to a special report on breast cancer from the Oprah magazine of October 2016. This contains the 5 new rules of breast cancer and lots of helpful ideas and advice from those who have gone through the process. We've come a long way since the era of one-size-fits-all breast cancer care. With so many advances in research and treatment, women now have a host of ways to live better each day after diagnosis. We talk to experts and survivors about the holistic shift that's taking place in how to navigate the disease and came up with 5 rules to help you feel healthier, happier, and more yourself no matter what cancer throws at you. Rule number 1, take the long view. Doctors are now treating breast cancer patients with a focus on the future. When Bree Sandland was diagnosed with stage 3 triple-negative breast cancer at 37, she worked full-time in marketing for a major corporation and was the mother of 5-year-old twin boys, one of whom had cerebral palsy. "I didn't have time to be sick," she says. Triple-negative breast cancer is more aggressive than other forms, but research has shown it can respond well to chemotherapy. When considering the particular treatment to recommend, Sandland's oncologist factored in her personal and professional commitments. The drug she suggested took less time to inject and tended to have fewer side effects during the first round, says Sandland, who's now 41 and has been in remission for 3 years. "It gave me more time to keep up at home and work, so I went for it." These days, that scenario, doctors weighing a patient's lifestyle when making treatment decisions, is increasingly common as oncologists expand their focus from merely keeping patients alive to preserving the quality of their lives. This is as it should be. Breast cancer, after all, is no longer a death sentence. The overall 10-year survival rate is 83%, the 15-year rate, 78%. For cancer that's diagnosed before it spreads beyond the breast, the 5-year survival rate is 99%. It goes without saying that we must fight cancer to the best of our ability, says Jennifer Keating-Litton, MD, Associate Professor of Breast Medical Oncology at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, where Sandland was treated. But what's exciting today are the developments that let us pull back when we can. The breakthroughs start at diagnosis. Breast cancer patients can undergo tests such as MammaPrint, which determines the likelihood of tumor's recurrence and can potentially spare women unnecessary rounds of treatment. They may also choose chemo regimens that minimize the risk of early onset menopause. When you realize that it might take more than a year to recover from the side effects of treatment, you begin to see why it's so important for women to be involved in the decision-making process, says Patricia Gans, MD, professor at UCLA's David Geffen School of Medicine and member of the Breast Cancer Research Foundation's Scientific Advisory Board. "I want women to prepare for the best possible life, physically and emotionally, after cancer." And here's a side column. "In the past, a majority of our resources went to developing drugs to fight cancer," says Deborah Barton, PhD, professor at the University of Michigan School of Nursing. "As more people with cancer are living full lives, we need to shift more resources outside the biology box. People are more than just biology. We need to support the entire person." And what no one tells you, don't eat or drink anything you really like during chemo. There's a famous restaurant in Kansas City that used to serve a broccoli cheese soup that I loved. We would always stop for it on the way home from the hospital. But since chemo made me sick to my stomach, even with the anti-nausea drugs, my body started associating the flavor with nausea, and now I can't eat it. And that came from Cheryl Jernigan, 65, of Kansas City, Missouri, who was diagnosed in 1996. We move to Rule 2, get a second opinion. No, really. Amid the capital E emotions that attend a breast cancer diagnosis, terror, rage, dread, there's often a quieter note, doubt. It's the little voice in your head that asks, "How do I know this doctor is telling me the right thing?" That's why many women opt for a second opinion. Some may shy away from seeing a different doctor because they fear being overwhelmed by conflicting information, but that's increasingly less likely. In the past decade, both diagnosis and treatment have become fairly standardized. Experienced pathologists tend to agree on the diagnosis, and doctors usually stick to the treatment regimen recommended by the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, says Joan Mortimer, MD, a medical oncologist and the director of women's cancer programs at the Cancer Research and Treatment Center, City of Hope, near LA. But within those regimens, there's room to tailor treatments to your priorities. So it's essential to make sure your doctor understands your specific needs. When an otherwise healthy 40-year-old woman comes in, she wants to do whatever is necessary to get cancer-free. She doesn't want this disease again, says Laura Shepherdson, MD, Associate Director of Breast Imaging at the Cleveland Clinic. Contrast that with an elderly woman who has breast cancer along with multiple other medical problems and just wants to be as comfortable as possible. Bedside manners matter too. The patient-doctor relationship really is significant. You see each other regularly for a decade, Mortimer says. If you don't feel a personality mesh, that's a good reason to get another opinion. She advises picking a physician at a different institution recommended by a nonprofit advocacy group, such as the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Susan Brown, Susan G. Komen's Senior Director of Health Education, suggests that newly diagnosed patients ask how common their cancer is, what the treatment options are, and their pros and cons. That information will help guide you as you decide which doctor is right for you. The side column, how to share your diagnosis with your boss. You may be wondering whether you even need to disclose the news to her, but you should tell someone in a position to approve any accommodations you may need, says Karen Hartman, a clinical social worker for Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. If you're not sure yet, she adds, it's fine to say, I don't know what's coming, but I might need time off for surgery and chemo, and I'd like to know what my options are. However you deliver the message, practice first, suggests Komen Susan Brown. Saying, I have cancer out loud can cause a really emotional reaction. What no one tells you, modesty will be a thing of the past. By the time I'd exposed myself to half the state of Massachusetts for breast exams, scans, injections, etc., I wasn't shy about flashing anyone, even interns who looked half my age. I should have had Mardi Gras beads thrown at me. Oh, and one other thing I wasn't expecting. When I shaved my head because I was losing chunks of my hair, the stubble felt like 1,000 needles. We got rid of it by using duct tape like waxing strips. And that came from Dawn Reisman, age 42, of Southampton, Massachusetts, who was diagnosed in 2009. Rule number 3, build a better team. 3 supporters you need by your side. Patient navigator. These advocates are like second moms. They can help schedule appointments, connect you with support groups, and remind you to do things like sign up for physical therapy. Some have clinical backgrounds and are qualified to partner with patients and providers in designing a treatment plan. Others, some of who are survivors themselves, have been trained to explain care options and deal with insurance snags, as well as transportation and meal delivery. Monica Dean, Program Manager for Hospital Systems and Patient Navigation for the American Cancer Society, ACS, notes that patients who pair up with navigators tend to have fewer missed appointments and ER visits. Note taker. Recruit someone to come with you to every appointment and keep a record of what your doctor says. Bonus points if she isn't easily rattled. If this means calling on more than one person to help, make sure everyone stays in touch. Yoga teacher. Studies suggest that yoga can benefit breast cancer patients by reducing inflammation, easing depression, and combating fatigue. Jenny Finkel, a Chicago yoga instructor who teaches at Northwestern University's Robert H. Lurie Comprehensive Cancer Center, says the breathing exercises and poses help relieve the mental and physical complications of treatment, including the tight pectoral and weak shoulder and upper back muscles that can result from breast surgery. If you can't find a class specifically for cancer patients, Finkel recommends looking for the words restorative, gentle, beginner, or Iyengar, and filling in the instructor on your history. Patient Navigator services are free and available nationwide, says Dean. The American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer now requires its 1,500-plus accredited cancer centers and programs to provide them. You can also find out whether any of the 100 ACS-trained navigators across the U.S. are near you by calling 800-227-2345. And the column on this page is how to share your diagnosis with prospective partners. A lot of women fear that cancer will be a deal breaker when it comes to starting a relationship. But more often than not, people aren't frightened away by the diagnosis, says Sloan Kettering's Karen Hartman. Not sure when to broach the subject? Hartman recommends speaking up before things get physical. If you foresee a future with the person, say something sooner rather than later. It's not first date information, says Brown, but the longer you wait, the trickier it can be. And what no one tells you, lotion will be your best friend. I would slather on a good half inch of Aquaphor under my arm, over my breast area, and on my chest and neck immediately when I got home after my radiation treatments. I also rigged up a long-handled bath brush with a washcloth to put it on my back just below my shoulder, since I had burning there too. Aquaphor is so concentrated it stained my sheets and mattress cover to the point that I had to wash them every few days, not to mention the t-shirts I wore to bed and around the house during treatment. But it was so worth it, because I took such good care of my skin I didn't have the redness or tanning that some people do. And that came from Patty Masseur of Northampton, Massachusetts, age 65, diagnosed in 2015. We move on to rule number 4, choose meals that heal. Nutrition plays a key role during and after breast cancer treatment. Here's how to fuel your body for a healthier life. During treatment, eat smarter. Dietitians are still underrepresented in cancer centers, says Jessica Iannotta, a certified specialist in oncology nutrition and chief operating officer of the cancer nutrition service Saver Health. So ask your doctor to refer you to one. She can provide valuable nutritional advice. Postmenopausal cancer patients, for instance, often take aromatase inhibitors, which keep estrogen low, to treat tumors and reduce the risk of recurrence. But those drugs also reduce bone density, so you may need more calcium and vitamin D, says Iannotta. Having nourishing meals on hand is also critical. When you come home from chemo, you often just want to crawl into bed, says breast cancer survivor Wendy Watkins, board president of the Cancer Nutrition Consortium and vice president of corporate communications at Hormel Foods. Many people don't have the energy to cook. Her experiences and patient surveys informed Hormel's new Vital Cuisine line of nutrient-rich shakes and heat-and-eat meals. O-testers think they're delicious. And for those who lack access to healthy options, Avon-funded programs report food insecurity rates of up to 60% among their metastatic breast cancer patients. Some hospitals have food pantries. Says Carolyn Ricci, program director of the Avon Breast Cancer Crusade, you can get treatment and pick up nutritious food. After treatment, stay on track. It can be tough to keep up the diet and exercise habits you began when you heard the word remission, but sticking to them matters. Research suggests that maintaining a healthy weight and staying active can improve long-term survival. Need an assist? Ask the Nutritionist. Recipes for Fighting Cancer is an app developed by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute dietitians with easy recipes and answers to common questions. You can even submit your own. Want to know whether it's safe to eat soy? Text away. How to share your diagnosis with your loved ones. Many patients worry more about their spouse than themselves, says Sloan Kettering's Karen Hartman. Take a little time to adjust and steel yourself for an emotional response that may include feelings of shock or helplessness. As for others, expect well-meant but at times frustrating reactions, especially in the form of unsolicited advice. To shut down an unhelpful helper, Hartman suggests memorizing a few lines you can deliver without becoming upset. If someone says, "You just have to stay positive," try, "I have good days and bad days, but I'm doing my best." If they suggest an all-organic diet, say, "I'm very pleased with my doctor's treatment plan." And a fighting chance. A new treatment is on the way for metastatic breast cancer. Though breast cancer mortality rates are falling, more than 40,000 women die from the disease each year, the majority of them after it has spread. But researchers are optimistic that new drugs may extend even the sickest patients' lives. The buzz is all about immunotherapy. Last year, the FDA approved melanoma and lung cancer treatments that use the body's T cells to fight tumors. Now research has confirmed that some breast cancer tumors contain immune system cells, too. "We haven't put together the right cocktail of immunotherapy drugs yet," says MD Anderson's Jennifer Keating Litton, MD, "but I think the theory of how we're going to attack is sound. In fact, in a recent small clinical trial pairing chemo with immunotherapy, more than a third of women with fast-growing metastatic triple-negative breast cancer responded to treatment, and some saw their tumors stop growing. One participant has even been disease-free for 2 years. Over the past 20 years, the median lifespan of a metastatic patient from diagnosis has doubled, from 1.5 years to 3 years, roughly," says Mark Curlbert, PhD, Chief Mission Officer at the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Could we turn 3 into 10 or 20 years? That's the hope. And our last rule, number 5, hack chemo. Katherine Anderson, naturopathic medicine chief of Cancer Treatment Centers of America, on how to sidestep 3 of chemotherapy's roughest side effects. Hair loss. DignaCap. This FDA-cleared device is a snug silicone cap filled with circulating coolant, which restricts blood flow to the scalp, minimizing follicles' exposure to chemicals. Iron. Many cancer patients are iron deficient, whether from the disease itself, chemotherapy, blood loss, or major organ problems, which can cause hair to stop growing or shed prematurely. Upping levels with supplements or iron-rich foods like lean meat and lentils, and then adding vitamin C, which helps with iron absorption, may slow hair loss. Essential fatty acids. A small study in the Journal of Cosmetic Dermatology found that a supplement containing fish oil and blackcurrant seed oil, excellent sources of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids respectively, reduced hair loss and improved strands diameter and density after 6 months. Nausea. Peppermint. This plant's powerful essential oil reduced the intensity of nausea and frequency of vomiting within the first 24 hours after chemo in one small study. Ginger. Research suggests that ginger may help lessen chemo-induced nausea, especially if taken before treatment. Acupuncture. Acupuncturists can focus on points associated with fighting nausea, such as the inner wrist. See a licensed practitioner who has worked in cancer care. Fatigue. Dance. No doubt chemo can be exhausting, but a little movement has surprising benefits for cancer patients. A small German study found that dancing may help manage moderate to severe cancer-related fatigue, and that the added social engagement fights post-diagnosis depression. Cognitive behavioral therapy. CBT. Eliminating self-defeating thoughts, reframing your body image, and setting healthy goals, all aspects of CBT can have a big impact. Look for a therapist who specializes in cancer care. Ginseng. A 2013 study funded by the National Cancer Institute and the Breast Cancer Research Foundation looked at the effect a 2,000 milligram daily dose of Wisconsin ginseng had on cancer patients, half of whom had breast cancer over 8 weeks. Ginseng takers experienced significantly less fatigue than those given a placebo. Look for the Wisconsin ginseng seal. That is what we had from the Oprah Magazine of October 2016. We have time left for one small article from the BBC Future Health column of November 16, 2016. And this is titled, Breast Cancer is More Often Advanced in Black Women. Black women in England are almost twice as likely to be diagnosed with advanced breast cancer as white women, according to a new analysis by Cancer Research UK and Public Health England. Late-stage disease is found in about 25% of Black African and 22% of Black Caribbean breast cancer patients. In white breast cancer patients, the figure is 13%. Experts say there are many reasons for this. Vital ones to change are low awareness of symptoms and screening. According to Cancer Research UK, Black women are less likely than white women to go for a mammogram when invited by the NHS. Spotting cancer early is important because the sooner it can be treated, the better the outcome. A support group in Leeds helps women of Black African and Caribbean descent who have either had breast cancer themselves or have loved ones who have. One woman there told the BBC, "A lot of us Black people bury our heads in the sand. Oh me, well, I don't need to go. There's nothing wrong with me." Another said, "I find a lot of people, they'll find out something is wrong, but they keep it to themselves and they're praying. They're praying that God will heal them." Heather Nelson, who works for BME Cancer Voice, said women, especially women of color, are less likely to go for screening. You'll get leaflets through your door, and they will be predominantly of white, middle-class women. There's no representation of South Asian, African descent, etc. If you get information like that, you're going to look and think, well, that's not about me. Most breast cancers are still diagnosed at an early stage across all ethnic groups, the data for 2012-2013 shows. Dr. Julie Sharp of Cancer Research UK said, if you notice something that isn't normal for you, or you have a symptom that's not gone away or has gotten worse, getting it checked out promptly could save your life. Lumps are not the only sign of possible breast cancer. Women should also get checked if they notice any changes to their breasts, such as nipple discharge or changes to the skin. Breast screening mammogram is offered to all women in England aged 50 to 70. The NHS is in the process of extending the program as a trial, offering screening to some women aged 47 to 73. Thank you for tuning into Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, WXXI.org.